answer any questions you have. Now, like many of you are, maybe it's just me that the problem is, but you get these emails every once in a while. You click on them and it says, now is the best time to refi your house. You are crazy if you don't go for a refi now. You need to do it right now. And so finally, after being skeptical, I decided, all right, I'll go ahead and do it. So I clicked on, we clicked on one of these buttons, which says compare the rates. And my goodness, all of a sudden, we are the most popular family on the planet. We've got 18 different people calling us saying, hey, we can tell you why we're so much better than these other ones. And by the end of all these things, they are pretty much offering to give us our house for free. Who wouldn't want to do these kind of deals? But having a little bit of skepticism is a good thing, because what we'd say to all these guys is, all right, it sounds real good, but we need to see it in writing, because seeing is believing. When I wake up in the morning, I feel, man, I can't look as bad as I feel. But then I stand in front of the mirror, and it tells me that, yes, you do look as bad as you feel. And you've got a lot of work to do before the day begins. But, you know, when it comes to the things that matter the most in life, we need to turn our thinking upside down. We need to see beyond the mirror, because what's more important than what we can see with our eyes is the truth. And we need to turn this thinking upside down, because believing is seeing. You see, life has a way of distracting our attention so we can get away from prime reality, and that's God. We lose perspective when we get tied up in all our little things, like saying, what's the best deal I can get for a refi in my house? Or, oh, I've got a problem with this. Oh, my boss is giving me a hard time. And all of a sudden, we get so distracted that we lose perspective. But we need to remember that God sees things very differently from us. And the way he sees things is reality. He doesn't get consumed by the moment, because he has an eternal perspective. And we need to do the same. I want you to open your Bibles to the book of Judges. Judges is the sixth book in your Bible. And if you ever want to get depressed, this is a great place to start. Because Judges is all about how God's people can forget how good and how great God is, and they go off and run and do their own things. I want you to meet a man who experienced great success because he turned his thinking upside down and he decided to see beyond the mirror. Judges chapter 6 is going to introduce us to a fellow named Gideon. Now, let me tell you a little bit about Gideon. Gideon was, frankly, a loser in life's society. Life was bad for Gideon. The Israelites is in the whole account of Judges is a series of cycles up and down. The Israelites, God's people, say, hey, all right, God, we're going to get on track with you. We worship you. You're good. You're great. This is wonderful. And then they get distracted with life, and they just go downhill from there. And then when things get really, really bad, they say, oh, God, please help us. And God, because he is good and he is great and he loves his people, says, okay, I'll help you. I will raise up a leader who will free you from the people who are holding you captive. These leaders are referred to judges. When we open the story to Judges chapter 6, the Israelites are being oppressed by the people from the land of Midian, the Midianites. Gideon was working in hiding at the time. The Midianites were stealing everything they could get a hold of. So what the Israelites would have to do is, if they wanted to eat, they would have to hide the food somewhere and then prepare it. Nothing like us just going to the grocery store and buying food. We should never think that's a hassle. We got it easy today. But Gideon was low man on the tribal totem pole. So Gideon was the guy who got sent off to go ahead and prepare the food in hiding. And his buddies all knew all too well that if the Midianites came, he was in trouble. Gideon was a nowhere man. He was the kind of guy that if you met him at a party, you'd have forgotten him by the time you left. There was nothing about Gideon which would make you think, man, this guy's a rock star. This is someone that we would like to have as our leader. So we'll pick up in verse 12 of chapter 6. This is what God's word says. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon. Now, before I go further, I want to say, when you see that phrase, the angel of the Lord, most Bible scholars would say that that is an appearance of Christ before he was born. It's a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ. So this is Jesus coming to Gideon when it's the angel of the Lord. And he said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Now, you imagine if you're Gideon, You're a loser, you're a low man on the tribal totem pole, and you are in hiding. The first thing I did if I heard this voice saying, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior, is, what, was there someone else here with me? That's probably how Gideon reacted. But sir, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, didn't the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hand of Midian. The Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? But Lord, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my family. And the Lord answered, I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites together. Heavenly Father, open our eyes as we look into your word. I pray that you would help us to see the fantastic truth of what it means that you are with your people. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Instead of seeing Gideon as everyone else saw him, a failure, God called him a mighty warrior. You know, if Gideon had just believed what he saw in the reflection of the mirror every day, Israel would have never been saved. If Gideon believed all his fears and all his insecurities, they would have become self-fulfilling prophecies. You see, Gideon had to see beyond the mirror and to believe God. God with Gideon is what made the difference, and the rest is history, as they say. I'll give you a quick short course on Gideon. What happened is Gideon just really didn't believe, Lord, the angels must have crossed their wire somewhere. You can't be talking to me. There's no way I could do something like what you want me to do. The Midianites are a brutal people. They've overthrown our nation. I am a nobody. No one here respects me, so our enemies sure aren't going to respect me. The Lord says, yeah, look, I'm with you. And so Gideon tests the Lord, and he puts the fleece out, and he tries different scenarios. Okay, if I wake up one morning and the fleece is wet and the ground is dry, then I'll believe you. God says, okay, I'll do that. And then Gideon takes out the sheepskin the next day and says, look, just to make sure, Lord, I want you to keep the sheepskin wet and the ground dry, or whatever the opposite was. And God does that. And then finally Gideon says, all right, I'll do what you say. And then Gideon, much to his surprise, manages to get this huge army of thousands of warriors lined up to go against the Midianites. So Gideon's thinking, wow, hey, I've got all these warriors here. This is all right. This is going to be pretty cool. And then as they're marching off to battle, the Lord says to Gideon, you got too many people. Gideon says, what? What are you bothering? Look, I need a lot of people to beat this army. They're pretty bad. They're rough people. God says, Gideon, I know. Will you just do as I say? I'm with you. And so the Lord has this process where he just calls the army down through different things, and Gideon is left with 300 people to go against thousands of Midianite warriors. And if you're any fan of military history, you need to read this in Judges chapter 6, 7, and 8. What they do is this incredible raid. They overthrow the whole army. They defeat them, and Israel is made free, and Gideon is called to be the leader of Israel. Here is a guy who went from the bottom of the totem pole to the top because God is with him. And he led the nation for a generation. Now, that was thousands of years ago. So what does that really mean to us today? Gideon had to believe God, and God did something amazing through him. We need to think beyond the mirror and see things as God does, just as Gideon did. It's very significant that the Lord said to Gideon, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. And God has promised all followers of Jesus Christ, everyone who comes to Christ for salvation, God has promised that he will be with us. He will never leave us or forsake us. In Matthew chapter 28, some of the last words Jesus said to his followers before he went up to heaven was, I am with you always to the very end of the age. So that is the same as the angel of the Lord saying to Gideon, I'm with you. To each and every one of us, the Lord himself says, I am with you. Now, will you just go and do the things that you think there's no way you could do so that I would be honored? Will you just believe me, and will you just trust me? So how do you see beyond the mirror? How can we experience what Gideon did thousands of years ago, right here, right now, in Northern Virginia. See, seeing beyond the mirror begins with believing God. We need to quit acting like we're abandoned. We need to quit acting like it's all up to me. We need to quit acting like, man, life is rough. I am just trying to make it through. We need to quit acting like Christianity is just something I put in a box and I pull out on Sunday mornings or for anything else I do with church during the week. Because God remains with us, whoever we are, wherever we are, when Jesus is our Savior. And this whole idea of God being with us will only be as good as our picture of God is. If we think that God is just some old guy up in heaven who likes to give his children nice things every once in a while, well, that's really not a big deal. But when we realize that God, who says he is with us, is the one who flung the stars into space, who loved us so much that he gave his son for us, if we think that God can do anything, if he is infinitely powerful, infinitely wise, if he has everything we need and promises to give us everything we need, then all of a sudden, when I stop and think, whoa, God is with us, that's a big deal. That is not just a nice Sunday school story. That is a big deal that God is with us. But we have to believe that. Will we be willing to say, yep, I believe what Jesus said. I will never leave you or forsake you. I'm with you till the end of the age. Once we believe what God says, we then have to take a step of humility. Because for us to experience the power of God in day-to-day life, God wants the credit for what happens because he deserves it. And it is about God and everything that he gives us. I want you to see the order that it says in Gideon's chapter 6. The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. You know, if God was looking for a hero to save his people in their own strength, he could have found someone other than Gideon. I'm sure there were other generals. There were other great business leaders. There were other great athletes. Other people far more impressive than Gideon that the Lord could have said, whoa, he's a stud, man. This is the guy I want leading my people out. But God didn't do that at all. God is just looking for anyone who says, Lord, I'm available. I don't give you the credit. And so we found Gideon, a man that everyone would have looked at and says, he's nothing. But when the world says we're nothing, that's okay, because God is the one who makes a difference. You know, the scriptures say this in Jeremiah 9, verses 23 and 24. Let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches. But let him who boasts boast about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness in the earth, for in these things I delight. Seeing beyond the mirror starts with believing that God is who he is and that he is able to do what he says he can do. Seeing through the mirror then needs to take a step backward. So I say, you know, I want people to see God working through me, and I'm going to give him the credit. But when I see beyond the mirror, this frees me from the fears that I may experience in life. You see, like Gideon, we are in enemy territory. Gideon was living in a land that was captured. The enemy soldiers were marauding around looking for what they could steal and pillage and damage. The world we live in today, we have an enemy. Satan is referred to as the prince of this world. Obeying Christ can get you opposition. If you say Jesus is the only way, just as Jesus himself said, people will label you as intolerant. If you make a stand for biblical morality, then you're considered a bigot. We live in enemy territory, but we don't need to live in fear. You see, Gideon lived in fear. It says that Gideon was found in a wine press threshing the wheat. Now, when you hear a wine press, you know, you think of the Food Channel and you think of something kind of cool and sophisticated and suave, but it was nothing like that. Wine presses were nothing more than pits hewn out of the stone in the ground. And they'd put a roof, a little wooden roof over it. They'd hang ropes on it. And the workers in this time would latch onto the ropes with their hands, and they just trample the grapes, and that was it. Gideon hid in this place threshing the wheat. Now, when you thresh wheat, you need a lot of space. You need it to be open, because what you do is you take all the wheat grains, you put them in this net type thing, you throw it up, so you need space, and so the chaff will blow away. Well, Gideon couldn't do that because he was so afraid that the enemies would find him. And so he's just huddled away in this wine press. It must have taken forever and a day for him to prepare a meal, all because he was afraid. And in life today, many of us operate in our own wine presses. We live in fear. We live in fear, and we may try to mask it outwardly, but we live in fear that, well, what if I'm exposed for who I really am? Oh, man, what if my 401k goes? I'm sunk. I have nothing. But God says to his people, you don't need to be afraid. I am your God. I am with you always. Gideon hid in a wine press, but we don't need to. The wine presses we hide behind might be our money. It might be our position. It might be an image we want everyone to have of us that really is not the truth of who we are inside. And God wants us free of these wine presses. Why? Not because we're anything great, but because he is great and because he is good. In Joshua, the book right before Judges, the Lord says this to Joshua, have not I commanded you? Don't be afraid. Yep, the people in that land, they're much bigger than you. They got much better armies. But don't be afraid, because I am with you. And that is a comfort that every follower of Jesus Christ needs to have. I don't need to fear. I don't need to set up an image for people to see. I don't need to trust my money. I don't need to trust my status. I don't need to trust my job. Nothing like that. I don't have to fear anything, because God is who he is, and he is with me. He'll always take care of me. Seeing beyond the mirror turns our thinking upside down. We so much have to see to believe. Well, what really matters is believing the truth. The scripture puts it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. We live by faith and not by sight. We believe everything that God says about himself. So, okay, we say, all right, God, I'm going to believe you. And yep, I'll take a step back in humility and I'll let you work through me. How is that really going to affect the way I think, the way we operate in this world around us? Well, first of all, I think it gives us genuine hope and confidence, real hope. No matter what the surroundings are, no matter what CNN may say is going on in the world around us, God didn't change. God didn't move. And God's promises are just as good to his people in times of economic uncertainty as they are in times of wealth. God's promises to his people never change. In Psalm 23, it says this, even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil, for you are with us. Are we going to believe that? Life will get hairy at times, but God is with us. And when we see that God is with us, that should give us an overwhelming contentment. Because if we have God, who else or what else do we need? If God is as good and as great as we say he is, then when we have him, that's everything. Anything else we have is gravy. It's a bonus. Maybe in this life, you're experiencing an unfulfilled dream. I'm sure Gideon was. I'm sure Gideon, when he was a little boy, dreamt of being a great general and overthrowing the enemies. But when he grew up, man, I'm just a nobody. People don't even recognize me. I get to do all the dirty work. Unfulfilled dreams. Maybe you're not in the career you wanted. Maybe the Lord hasn't bought a spouse to you yet or given you children yet. Maybe there's something you say, oh, Lord, I wish I had this. But when we say, Lord, you really are enough. And Lord, things may not have fallen into place the way I had dreamt of them, but you are able to work in ways that are better and deeper than I can imagine. And God says to each of us, will you trust me? Will you give me a chance to do something amazing? No one would have ever said, Gideon, oh yeah, he'll overthrow the enemies. But maybe you're looking at your life and saying, it just hadn't panned out. I'm just sinking into oblivion. No, you're not. If God is with you, he can have something in store for you that is greater than you can ask or imagine. And he asks you to believe it. If God is with us, or I should say since God is with us, that's going to affect my priorities as a parent. Northern Virginia is incredibly competitive. I mean, the amount of things that kids do today in high school and in elementary school, I'm thinking, man, that's amazing. I grew up in wrestling. I didn't do a tenth of the stuff that goes on now. And the homework that my children, first and third grade, bring home staggers me. I don't think I opened a book in school until I was in junior high. And my kids have these huge backpacks. And you see, you know, kids are getting injuries carrying these backpacks along of books and homework. But instead of picking on my kids' shortcomings, instead of threatening, saying, you need to do this, Joe, you're getting into a really good school, you need to do this, or instead of trying to take my dreams and placing them on my kids, my top priority as a parent is to introduce my children to Jesus as Savior, Lord, and friend. Because when my children know Christ the Savior, then on the authority of God's word, I can tell them, God is with you. And then when I explore that whole concept with my kids, think of the ramifications of that. If God is with you, you can have a healthy self-image. You don't need a girlfriend or a boyfriend when you're age 9 or anything like that. You don't need to do certain things to be popular because God is with you. What more do you need? When my children realize that God is with them, that is built-in moral surveillance. Because if God is with you, do you really want to take him in places that you know he didn't want to go? And if my children really believe that, maybe that'll help them avoid trouble and situations they shouldn't be in. When my kids realize that God is with them, maybe they'll have the courage to stand up and ask when Christianity is assailed and say, wait a minute, I do believe in Jesus. You see, when we realize that God is with us, that should also give us a boldness. We'd be bolder in day-to-day life. If we really believe that God is with us, then instead of seeing ourselves for what bounces off the mirror, we'd say, you know, no, I'm a mighty warrior. God can do anything through me because he is with me. Since God is with you, there is so much more than what the mirror shows. You are not just a stay-at-home mom. You are discipling the next generation of mighty warriors for Christ. You are not just a software developer. You are the king's ambassador in your office. We need to see things the way God sees them and not attach the labels that the world puts on us. See, when you look in the mirror, you see all your blemishes, all your faults, all your flaws, everything's wrong with you. But when God looks at you, he sees someone who in Christ is forgiven, who is empowered, who is restored. When God looks at each of us, he says, I love you so much. I've given my son for you. You believe in me, and I now indwell you. I am always with you. Think of all the Bible greats. You know, we can be filled with people, these names that we read. You read about Gideon, you read about Joshua, you read about King David, and think of all these great things. And it's so easy to think, oh, that was way back then. They did this. But all of the great heroes had something wrong with them. Noah got drunk. Jacob was a liar. Leah was ugly. Joseph was abused. Moses stuttered. Jephthah's mother was a prostitute. Hosea's wife was a prostitute. And Rahab was a prostitute. Elijah was suicidal. Jeremiah was depressed. John the Baptist ate bugs. Martha was a worrywart. And Mary was lazy. The Samaritan woman had been sleeping around. And all the disciples fell asleep when Jesus needed them most. Yet every one of those people has been used greatly by God. We're all going to let him down at some point. And it's not something we should aspire to, but it's also reality. We are frail human beings. But no matter what we've done, no matter what is in our past, no matter what our character flaws are, God says, I am with you, and I want to do something through you that is greater than you can ask or imagine. And what he says to each of us is, will you believe that truth? When you come to Christ for salvation, will you believe that God is with you? And that what God sees in you, and that what God sees that he wants to do through you, is not the same thing that bounces off the mirror at you. Will you see yourself as God sees you? And then will you take it a step further, and will you see one another, your fellow church family, as God sees them? It's very easy for us to think about other people's annoying habits. Very easy for us to think about all the things that other people do that just bug us. But we got to remember, we've got the same silly habits. And will we see one another, will we see through our flaws and all our foibles to say, you know, it's an incredible privilege to be put in God's family, to be surrounded by other people just like me who are construction projects that work is still going on with. And God wants to do amazing things through us. May God advance his kingdom through Cedar Run Community Church, just as he advanced his work through Gideon. May God do things through us that people one day would want to write a book about. A bunch of people right here in this auditorium who think, well, God couldn't do anything through me. That's nonsense. Because the same God who we've sung about as infinitely great and infinitely good says, I am with you. I want to work through you. Will we believe him? That's our choice. Father, I pray that we would be a people that choose to believe what you say. I pray that we would be a people who stick our chests out and say, you know, we are going to go into this world with the love of Christ. We are going to introduce other people to Christ. We will make a stand for Christ because that is what matters. Lord, I pray that we would see things as they really are. Not just the mirror's reflection, but that we would see the truth that you are with your people and that you will never leave us, you will never forsake us. There is no such thing as one-on-one evangelism because we know that you are right there with us, giving us words as we share Christ with those around us. Lord, we may walk through valleys of the shadow of death on this earth. We may go through really difficult times, but you will never abandon us. Oh, Lord, help us to cling to that truth. And I pray that you would raise up an army of mighty warriors and use us to advance your cause right here and all over the globe. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.